Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be exploring the 18th century philosopher David Hume
Oh, yeah.
and how his ideas still resonate today, especially for those of us living in a world shaped by science.
Yeah.
We've got some really cool material to work with today. We've got excerpts from a book all about his inquiry concerning human understanding, and then three appendices with even more of Hume's writing.
Really fascinating stuff.
It is.
I mean, it's amazing how relevant his ideas still are.
Yeah.
You know, even back then, he was wrestling with these questions about knowledge and reason and belief that are just as important today as they were centuries ago.
Yeah, it's like he was a time traveler giving us this framework for critical thinking before the internet even existed.
Exactly. So let's jump right in.
Yeah.
Our source calls this the Scandal of Hume.
Okay.
So what is this all about?
So imagine you're back in the 1700s.
The scientific revolution is in full swing, and people are starting to feel really confident in human reason, right?
Right.
They see it as this almost godlike ability to unlock the secrets of the universe.
Okay.
Then enter David Hume, dropping these truth bombs.
Okay.
He challenges this whole idea of reason as divine.
Huh.
He says, no, no, no. Human reason is actually more like animal instinct.
Okay.
Something grounded in our experiences, not this perfect God-given tool.
Interesting.
And he's saying this like over a century before Darwin.
Wow. That's, yeah.
I know.
It really is scandalous for the time.
It really was.
But isn't it interesting how, like, the 20th century, with all its advances in science, kind of actually supports what he was saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Think about psychology, evolutionary biology,
right.
even AI.
Uh-huh.
They all point to the idea that our reasoning is rooted in our biology.
Yeah.
And our interactions with the world. It's not this pure abstract process.
Yeah. Not happening in a vacuum.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're more like sophisticated pattern recognizing machines than these perfectly rational beings.
In a way. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes me think about one of his famous arguments about causation.
Okay.
Where he basically says, just because we see event B happen after event A.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean A caused B.
Exactly. We often just assume a cause and effect relationship.
Right.
Just because we're used to seeing things happen in a certain order.
Right.
But Hume's like, hold on a second. We're making a leap there.
Yeah.
It's based on our habit and custom, not pure logic.
Right. And he uses that example of eating bread and feeling nourished.
Right.
Just because it happened before doesn't mean it's guaranteed to happen again. Maybe the next time I eat bread, I'll turn into a loaf of sourdough instead of digesting it. Okay, probably not, but you get the point, right?
I do.
What's even more fascinating to me is that he thinks even babies and animals learn this way.
Absolutely.
Like we see a pattern and we expect it to continue.
Right.
It's like we're hardwired for this.
It's like built in.
We're not sitting around like reasoning it all out.
Yeah.
Which that ties in perfectly with the scientific method.
It does.
Right.
We need those repeated experiments to establish cause and effect.
Yeah.
You don't just observe something once and call it science.
Right.
It's about looking for those reliable patterns.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets even more interesting because even Isaac Newton, who, you know, figured out gravity.
The giant of science.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Admitted he didn't actually know why it worked.
Interesting.
He focused on describing how it worked. And that was enough to revolutionize science.
So we've got Newton, this giant of science, saying, I don't know the ultimate why.
Right.
And then Hume comes along and says, well, maybe that's okay. Maybe with all causes, we can only really grasp those regular patterns, not some deep hidden essence.
Yeah, like we can observe that A tends to lead to B.
Right.
But we can't necessarily explain why.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Not at all.
In fact, it's incredibly liberating, especially when you think about applying that same approach to human behavior.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
If our actions are predictable based on patterns, does that mean we don't have free will?
Oh, that's a big question.
It's a huge question. It makes you think about how much control we really have over our choices.
And Hume doesn't shy away from that question.
Oh.
In section 8.
Yeah.
He really tackles this head on.
Oh, cool.
He connects human behavior to causes and effects, just like in the physical world.
Okay.
So he's suggesting that maybe we can have a science of the human mind.
Oh, interesting.
A way to understand our behavior.
Wow.
And even predict it based on these patterns.
So in a way, he's taking this seemingly disappointing limitation that we can't know the ultimate why of things and turning it into this powerful tool
exactly.
for understanding ourselves and the world around us.
It's like he's saying,
yeah,
embrace the patterns, study the connections, and let's see where that takes us.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got this idea of like patterns and experience.
Yeah.
This leads us right into one of his most controversial arguments.
Okay.
His take on miracles.
Miracles.
Miracles, right. Always a hot topic.
Always.
So Hume says our belief in miracles should be based on experience.
Well, he is all about experience.
He is.
He points out that even when you hear about a miracle, you're relying on somebody's testimony.
Right.
And that testimony is only as good as your past experience with whether people generally tell the truth.
Okay, but there's a snag.
There is.
Our experience also tells us that the laws of nature are pretty darn consistent. Yeah. They don't just break down for a good story.
Right, right, right.
So when we hear about a miracle, we have these two experiences clashing.
We do.
Right.
Yes. And so Hume asks, which experience should hold more weight?
Right.
The one saying that people are mostly reliable.
Right.
Or the one saying that, you know, the laws of nature are rock solid.
Oh, man, that's a tough call.
It is a tough call.
He uses that example of an Indian prince who refused to believe in frost because it was outside his experience.
Oh, wow.
It makes you wonder how much of what we believe
is
just based on our limited experience.
Yeah, it's like that saying, to a fish, the whole world is water.
It is. Yeah. It's such a good point.
It's a brilliant point.
And it, you know, this connects so directly to the world that we live in now.
It does.
Where we're just flooded with information online.
I know, right?
It's like we're constantly evaluating the trustworthiness of sources, trying to sift fact from fiction.
It's exhausting.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like Hume gave us a cheat code for the internet age.
He did, didn't he?
Like, be skeptical, demand evidence, and don't just believe something because it sounds amazing or it confirms what you already think.
Yeah, exactly.
He even dives into this supposed miracle at the tomb of Abbé Paris where people were reporting all these healings.
Right, right.
But even with tons of witnesses, like, the stories just fell apart when you looked closely at them.
This is so interesting.
Which just proves the point, right? Even when lots of people believe something.
Yeah.
It doesn't automatically make it true.
Right.
We have to look beyond the surface, examine the evidence, and think critically.
Exactly.
And that critical lens is so crucial for the next big idea.
Okay.
Which is Hume's skepticism
about
whether we can truly know the world out there beyond our perceptions.
Yeah. Get ready, listeners. We're going deep here.
Okay.
So Hume talks about these things called primary and secondary qualities.
Okay.
Are things like color and solidity really in the object, or are they just how our minds experience them?
Okay, that's a classic philosophical debate.
It is.
Right.
Like, if you think about it, Hume, who's building on ideas from Berkeley, argues that if you strip away all the qualities that we perceive, the colors, the sounds, the textures, what you're left with is this unknown, inexplicable something.
Ooh.
Right.
That sounds super abstract.
It is.
But think about it this way, right?
Okay.
Imagine a red apple.
Okay.
Is the redness really in the apple itself?
Uh-huh.
Or is it just how our eyes and brains interpret the light bouncing off of it? It's mind-bending, isn't it?
It is. It shows that there's this gap between our perceptions and whatever reality is.
Right. And so,
like, we build models, we use language, but we can never fully grasp the essence.
The thing in itself.
Yeah, the thing itself.
Which, again, like, aligns with modern science.
That does.
We describe the universe through models and theories, knowing that our understanding is always evolving.
Right.
There's this mystery at the heart of it all.
There is.
That we can't fully solve.
Right. And this is where
Hume's
famous skepticism comes in.
Okay.
But it's not the kind that leads to despair.
Okay.
He calls it mitigated skepticism.
Okay, mitigated skepticism.
Yeah.
What exactly are we mitigating here?
So it's about finding that sweet spot between blind faith and paralyzing doubt.
Okay.
Hume says, stick to topics within your experience.
Okay.
Be cautious about making grand claims.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledge the limits of reason.
Okay.
We can still pursue knowledge, but with humility.
I mean, that sounds like walking a tightrope.
It is, in a way.
Right. Yeah. How do we know if we're being too skeptical or not skeptical enough?
It's tricky, right?
Yeah.
But it's like he's giving us permission to say, I don't know everything.
Yeah.
And that's actually a pretty powerful place to start.
It is.
Especially in a world where it feels like everybody has an opinion on everything.
I know. It's like the antidote to that feeling of information overload.
Right. Hume's saying it's okay to be curious, to ask questions.
Yeah.
But also to accept that there are some things that we just can't know for sure.
So rather than getting bogged down in those unanswerable questions, focus on what you can observe, test, and learn from.
Exactly.
Okay. So mitigated skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about throwing your hands up in the air and saying nothing matters. It's about being the savvy navigator of knowledge.
Yes.
Especially in this age of instant information.
And it's about having the humility to admit you might be wrong.
Right.
And the flexibility to update your beliefs when new evidence comes along.
Which is basically the scientific method in a nutshell.
It is.
It's constantly testing, revising, refining our understanding of the world.
Yeah. And that's what makes Hume so relevant even the centuries later.
Right. Like we started out wanting to understand why his ideas are so groundbreaking.
Exactly.
Especially for someone living in a world shaped by science.
Yeah.
And I think we've arrived at the answer.
I think so too.
He's not trying to tear down science.
No.
He's actually giving us this more robust framework for scientific thinking.
Right. Like, be skeptical, demand evidence, question your assumptions. It's like he's giving us a mental toolkit for navigating a world full of claims and counterclaims.
And remember, this isn't just about science in a lab.
It's about how you approach knowledge in your everyday life.
Absolutely. It makes you think.
Yeah.
How often do we just accept things at face value?
I know, right?
Whether it's a news headline or a social media post or even
something we've always believed to be true.
Exactly. And Hume's like challenging us to pause, to dig a little deeper and ask ourselves, what's the evidence here?
It's about cultivating that healthy skepticism, that willingness to question, and that openness to changing your mind when you're presented with new information.
Exactly.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the mind of David Hume, I want to leave you with this question.
Okay.
If, as Hume suggests, even our basic idea of cause and effect is rooted in habit and not some ironclad law of the universe, what does that say about how we approach knowledge, evidence, and belief in our daily lives?
It's a question worth pondering.
It is.
How can you be both a critical thinker, embracing the power of reason and observation, and also acknowledge the uncertainties that Hume highlights?
Right.
It's that delicate balance.
It is.
Between curiosity and skepticism that makes for a truly insightful journey through this world of knowledge.
It does. And who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe exploring Hume's ideas will spark some of your own aha moments.
I hope so.
If you're feeling inspired, I encourage you to check out more of his work or delve into the history of the scientific revolution.
Absolutely.
You might be surprised how these seemingly abstract ideas from centuries ago can illuminate our modern world in unexpected ways.
That's the beauty of it.
Until next time, keep those minds questioning.
Yeah, it's tricky.
It is.
But, you know, it's like he's giving us permission to say, I don't know everything.
Right.
And that's actually a pretty powerful place to start.
Yeah.
Especially in a world where it feels like everybody's got an opinion on everything.
I know.
Right. It's like the antidote to that feeling of information overload. Hume saying, it's okay to be curious, to ask questions.
Yeah.
But also to accept that there are some things we just can't know for sure.
So rather than getting bogged down in those unanswerable questions, just focus on what you can observe, test, and learn from.
Exactly.
Okay, so mitigated skepticism. Mm. It's not about throwing your hands up and saying nothing matters.
Right.
It's about being the savvy navigator of knowledge.
Yes.
Especially in this age of instant information.
Yeah, and it's about having the humility to admit you might be wrong.
Yeah.
And the flexibility to update your beliefs when new evidence comes along.
Which is basically the scientific method in a nutshell.
It is.
It's constantly testing and revising and refining our understanding of the world.
Yeah, and that's what makes Hume so relevant, even centuries later.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Like, we started this deep dive wanting to understand why his ideas are so groundbreaking,
Right.
especially for someone living in a world shaped by science.
Huh?
And I think we've arrived at the answer.
Yeah.
He's not trying to tear down science.
Not at all.
He's actually giving us this more robust framework for scientific thinking.
Yeah, like be skeptical.
Yes.
Demand evidence. Question your assumptions. It's like...
just like he's giving us this mental toolkit.
A toolkit, yeah.
For navigating this world full of claims and counterclaims.
Absolutely. And remember, this isn't just about science in a lab.
No, not at all.
Right.
Yeah.
This is about how we approach knowledge in our everyday lives.
It makes you think.
It does.
How often do we just accept things at face value?
I know, right.
Whether it's a news headline.
Or a social media post.
Or something we've always believed to be true.
Exactly. Mm. Hume is like challenging us to pause.
Yeah.
To dig a little deeper and to ask ourselves, what's the evidence here?
It's about cultivating that healthy skepticism.
It is.
The willingness to question, that openness to changing your mind when you're presented with new information.
Yeah, yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the mind of David Hume, I want to leave you with this question.
Okay.
If, as Hume suggests, even our basic idea of cause and effect is rooted in habit and not some ironclad law of the universe.
Interesting.
What does that say about how we approach knowledge, evidence, and belief in our daily lives?
That is the question, isn't it?
It is.
How can you be both a critical thinker, embracing the power of reason and observation, but also acknowledge the uncertainties that Hume highlights?
Right. It's that balance.
It is, that delicate balance.
Between curiosity and skepticism.
That makes for a truly insightful journey through this world of knowledge.
It does.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe exploring Hume's ideas will spark some aha moments for you as well.
I hope so.
If you're feeling inspired, check out some more of his work.
Yeah.
Or delve into the history of the scientific revolution.
Right.
You might be surprised by how these seemingly abstract ideas from centuries ago can illuminate our modern world in really unexpected ways.
And for sure.
Until next time, keep those minds questioning.